think hard about your product data. Try and break it down into terms of attributes. And I want to kind of return to that idea of thinking like a data engineer. The brands that are going to be most successful going forward in this new environment are ones that really understand that the structure of their data is the thing that's going to define how successful it's going to be when we're talking about kind of distribution and across multiple touch points and decentralization and all of that stuff.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with the Keep Optimizing format, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. And in each episode, we release a new one every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. This time, we are picking up the SEO thread again. Yes, it's time to dedicate another five episodes to getting free, in inverted commas, traffic from search engines and beyond. Because let's face it, we all know it's not free. There's a lot of work involved. But with these episodes, we're going to make that workload be deployed in the right places for you. Now, with all the generative AI noise, you'd be forgiven for thinking that SEO is irrelevant today. And as we'll discover in this mini-series, it's actually more relevant than ever before. In fact, we had so many people apply to be part of this series covering so many different topics. It really surprised me, but I think it really is testament to how important it is to get this right at the moment. In this episode, we are getting started with a big topic, one of the biggest topics in e-commerce this year, the ChatGPT shopping functionality. Yes, we are going to be talking about that. My guest is going to explain why on earth we're talking about it during SEO month and be sharing how you can go about optimizing your site, whether you're on Shopify or not, to make it really work for you in the ChatGPT feed and other places too. I'm about to steal his thunder. So I'm just going to tell you to listen right to the end because his insider tips build on this topic as well. So you want to make sure you hear those. And I'll be sharing my take on it all and outlining a couple of other ways we can help you improve your SEO even more. So stay tuned to the end, everyone.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Have you yet downloaded the 500 Top Tips to Make Your E-Commerce Business More Profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. In this episode, I'm chatting with SEO expert Sam Wright. Sam is the managing director at specialist e-commerce agency Blink, the Shopify marketing agency for large catalog stores. Sam's been in SEO since 2007 and in e-commerce since 2002. Hello, Sam.
Hello. Thanks, Chloe. Real pleasure to be here.
Always great to have you involved with our content on whichever platform we're working on, because you always bring the good, Sam. And just reading out your intro, SEO since 2007. So how on earth did you end up in SEO?
Yeah, great question. So actually, my first business was selling secondhand records. And obviously, eBay was a big part of that. So that was my kind of entry point into e-commerce. Then Napster came along and killed the secondhand record business. So I'm showing my age here, for one thing, as well. At that point, I moved into business publishing. I worked online for B2B magazines, and that gave me another entry point into SEO. And then, as we started Blink and we started specializing in e-commerce SEO, the two things kind of coalesced together.
How cool. So you've got such an interesting experience from kind of running your own e-commerce operation on eBay way back in the day. Then the super exciting, no, even now super exciting in SEO, but like those early days with the B2B online magazines, with I shudder to think what hacks and strategies.
Ooh, it was pretty bad.
It was fun back then, everybody. It was so much fun. I was about to tell everyone a story that's highly inappropriate, so I'm not going to do it, of a conversation on a train about an SEO hack tactic. We're not going to go there. So super interesting how you've built all that experience up. How is SEO these days? Is it still, I mean, because we talk about the fundamentals being the same. Is it still great content, well formatted, well teched, etc.? Is that still the winning formula?
Yeah, I think our kind of view on it is quite particular when it comes to content. You know, specifically, we tend to work with large catalog stores. So the buying journey there is fundamentally different from other types of e-commerce business. Now, this is something you know as well as anyone. Yeah, what works for a D2C store with 3 SKUs is very different from a store with 1,000. Because the buying journey is fundamentally different. You know, one's all about demand capture. Someone knows what they're looking for, and it's a case of organizing the store in the way that they can find it. Whereas with a small catalog store, it's often about educating someone about your particular product and why it's different. And that's like the tactics that you need to use to do that are incredibly different. So, you know, when we talk about content, all of that, there's that kind of lens to it. You know, so the content that we tend to do is product collection content. You know, it's all very commercially focused, although that may well be changing with all of the stuff that's coming out with the new world of ChatGPT and Shopify.
Well, let's talk about that then, because I think a lot of us who've been hearing the news and seeing what people are doing around this over the last couple of months might be thinking, why is Chloe talking about this? Why has Chloe brought Sam on to talk about this during an SEO month? Surely this is some kind of, surely this should be an AI series, or it should be in, ads series or something. So why are we talking, Sam, about the buy button that's now in ChatGPT due to that merge or that collaboration between OpenAI and Shopify? Why is that relevant to an SEO episode?
Yeah, this is a great question. Like for me, this is like one of the most exciting things to happen in e-commerce for quite some time. The reason it's kind of relevant to us is, you know, effectively this is a new product discovery channel. You know, I've talked a bit about demand capture and product discovery, but one where the source is different. You know, if we're talking about Meta and product discovery, you know, everyone knows Shopify really is launching tons of brands where the business model is huge amounts of Meta and Facebook ad spend pushed to a small number of pages. What this does is opens up a product discovery channel where the source of everything is your website. Yeah. And from our perspective, you know, other marketing channels are normally done in platform, like the work's done in platform, like Google Ads, you go into Ad Manager, Meta, you go into Meta Ad Manager to do the work. But with ChatGPT and all of the kind of like the future of LLMs and e-commerce, there needs to be a data source, and that data source is going to be your website. That's where our work happens.
So I guess why we're talking about it in SEO is SEO series is one, because it's about making changes to the content on your website, which is very much of an SEO tactic. We're not logging into ChatGPT product catalog to feed them some information or anything. So it's very much SEO tactics. Is it in conflict with SEO work we'd already be doing? You know, can we feel confident if we've already done a lot of work on this that we might not need to do much more? Or is this a new approach and a new set of tasks we need to be doing?
It's probably a bit of both. You know, you mentioned we're not logging into ChatGPT to do stuff like yet. I know that it's been made public that they're working on a feed that you can submit to, but our kind of view is really how we want to be thinking about this stuff in the future is using Shopify really as like a PIM, like a product information management platform. It becomes your central point of truth for multiple channels. And then that kind of ties in with the kind of SEO work. The way we see SEO going in the future is much about product data management as it is like optimizing a blog, you know, or the kind of more traditional kind of SEO work. It makes everything a lot more bottom up than it has been before. We kind of talk quite a lot about encouraging brands to think about themselves or to think about their brand from a data engineering perspective rather than like a marketing one. And kind of what I mean by that is if we're taking this view that everything is going to become very decentralized and you're just feeding data into multiple points of distribution, the better quality of the data that you've got and the more understanding of kind of attributes and taxonomy and stuff that you can feed in from that kind of that point opens up a lot more going forward.
Got you. So this is kind of another step on a trajectory we were already on in terms of where we're putting our SEO, our content optimization activity from a product discovery on other people's content platforms standpoint. Trying to make this as generic as possible. This is obviously a collaboration between OpenAI and Shopify. Can we ignore this if we're not on Shopify? Because, I mean, I can see if I was OpenAI, yes, you need Shopify to enable you to do the purchase in ChatGPT bit, but you don't need Shopify for any of the rest of it. You don't need Shopify to put a product recommendation in a ChatGPT conversation. You don't need Shopify, or, you know, a partnership with Shopify to put a buy button on there that could link back to a product page rather than actually happening within ChatGPT. So from my perspective, I would have thought everybody needs to be following these practices, not just going, oh, well, it's only Shopify, I can ignore that. Would that be a fair suggestion?
Yeah, definitely. I think it is something that's pretty fundamental, no matter what platform you're working on. And there's also the case that so much of this is good practice, regardless of whether you're trying to get improved results in things like ChatGPT. I mean, having clearly organized product data, clear taxonomy, et cetera, it just makes everything so much easier. Whether that's making your shopping feeds work more effectively, having better segmentation for email marketing, you know, it's all part of the same thing, really.
Got you. So let's talk about what we actually need to be doing, whether our goal is the SEO side, the ChatGPT mashup with Shopify side, or the getting our other sites ready for general ChatGPT shopping. What are the key steps for someone who hasn't looked at this before, who wants to boost it a little bit? You mentioned taxonomy, you mentioned product information, you mentioned making your website into your kind of PIM that's got all that data in there. What are the key things we need to get right?
Okay, I think there's some kind of really interesting ways to come at this. And again, like part of it is down to what kind of store you are. If you're in that kind of real commodity space, you know, you're selling commodity products, you're a retailer, you're doing it at scale. Like one of the challenges brands are going to have is it's quite easy to see how this could be a race to the bottom in terms of pricing. You know, if someone types in, I want to see the cheapest running shoes for my size feet that can be shipped to me like by tomorrow, you know, you can see how everything can become increasingly commoditized. So for a lot of brands, it becomes how can we, well, I suppose one thing is to have that data in formats that can be machine readable. If you've got fast shipping, if your pricing's clear, that's the opportunity to kind of feed that stuff in, but it needs to be clearly marked up. Your schema needs to be correct, you know, all of that kind of good housekeeping. But then I think the really interesting space is going to be how brands, well, get the brand stuff in on top of that. Mm-hmm. And so much of that is going to be how can you get your brand information and make it kind of portable and displayed across multiple touch points. Now, how can you distill your messaging down into something that's machine readable and can be brought in that kind of context? So if you're high quality, you know, what does high quality mean? And how can you segment it down into something that can be brought in that way? And I think that creates something that's quite interesting. It brings us back to a load of like positioning stuff, but just kind of reframes it in a slightly different way.
Got you. So we need to get all our basic straightforward data that people are going to be asking the AI schemed up and in there. I'm guessing everything from key product attributes like color and length, sizes, speed of delivery, type of delivery, locations you can get delivered to, pricing, all that kind of nuts and bolts stuff needs to be there. But then we've got this bigger challenge around making ourselves stand out, I suppose.
Yeah, because if everything's broken down to basic attributes, you know, how do you make your brand seem different?
And we're trying to do all this on the product page as well, which obviously is where people are seeing our content, you know, when they come to the website. So we've got to somehow make it both AI friendly and human friendly. Is that harder than I think it is?
No, I think it's the right way of thinking about it. I would say there, though, you know, one thing that we may well see is other page, you know, like ChatGPT can look at multiple pages at once. So if you've got blog content or something that supports this messaging, there's a good chance that that can be pulled in. I think the challenge that that creates is that whole kind of understanding of all of your content and making sure that it's consistent and you haven't got multiple pages like with different information, you know, which is quite easy to do on a site that's years old. You know, you might have published one piece of content saying that you're, I don't know, vegan, and then you've got content that contradicts that in other places. So, you know, how's an LLM going to understand, or, you know, how's an AI model going to understand which is the correct piece? So that all becomes part of the puzzle as well, I think.
So it's far beyond the product page. It's also kind of keeping, I'm now having a cold sweat on some of the old stuff that's on one of my websites that I have no idea what it is. Clearly, I'm going to have to go and tidy that up. But it also means we know we should be regularly reviewing old blog content, information pages, and all that stuff already. But it means keeping a closer eye on those to make sure, because the AI is looking at the whole site when it's pulling information about one product. So we want to make sure it's clear to them what information they should be pulling forwards. And I guess UGC could cause all kinds of problems, couldn't it? Because we know that to get the conversion on the page, we want positive and negative reviews. But of course, then the AI could pick up the negative review and something from that could end up being part of your kind of product tile in the AI chat. Am I going like ninja level here, or is this already a problem?
I think it's a fair assumption. Obviously, we haven't seen that happen yet, but all of this comes down to that kind of, you need to have a really tight understanding of all of your content and messaging, and you know, without that, yeah, that like weird stuff is undoubtedly going to happen.
Anything we've missed that we should really be telling people about for this, Sam, in terms of getting ready for it? Because it's so much more than just ChatGPT. OpenAI have done a partnership with Shopify, isn't it? It's so much more about what our sites need to be in the future for many different angles. So is there any other key things you've been finding with clients that they find more challenging that maybe they didn't come across? Or how have we covered the main points there for everybody?
I think those are the main points. Like, obviously, it's still early days in this stuff and things are going to change fast, particularly as kind of traction builds up. But I do think the stuff that we've talked about is all based on good practice that should serve us well in future.
Excellent. Cool. Well, there you go, everybody. That is your quick guide to the buy button in ChatGPT, what your opportunity is, what you could do with it, and what you should be doing to get ready even for it. Thank you, Sam, so much for taking us through that. It's been great picking your brains about it all. All of you out there listening, stick around right to the end, please, because we're about to go into Sam's insider tips, where he's going to go deeper into this whole thing. And I will, after that, be sharing my suggestions for a couple of other ways we can help you improve your SEO performance even more.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay, Sam, so far we've gone deep into the buy button in ChatGPT. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of SEO. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with SEO, which of course does mean you can stick to talking about the buy button in ChatGPT. The choice is yours. Sam, are you ready?
I am indeed.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Okay, I'm going to stick to this subject because it's such a fun, interesting one for me, which I think might say more about me than anything else. Okay, so I'm going to say for a newcomer to this space, probably the best bit of advice that I could give is really to think hard about your product data. Try and break it down into terms of attributes. And I want to kind of return to that idea of thinking like a data engineer. The brands that are going to be most successful going forward in this new environment are ones that really understand that the structure of their data is the thing that's going to define how successful it's going to be when we're talking about kind of distribution and across multiple touch points and decentralization and all of that stuff.
Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Okay, so this is something that's more kind of on the operation side. It's all about the same subject, because I'm just going to keep banging this drum until it breaks. But I think taking ownership of taxonomy is the question of who owns it is such an interesting one. But it is the thing that kind of unlocks everything from a performance perspective. So who owns taxonomy and product data? Is it marketing? Is it your product team? You know, quite often it's fallen with dev teams in the past. We've seen that happen. You know, where does it sit? And someone needs to take ownership of it to, you know, to kind of unlock it as a system. And I think what we've seen in terms of, you know, improving performance is when that happens, that's when things start to move much quicker and you can kind of unlock all of the potential behind this stuff.
It sounds like it very much needs to be something that's being thought about day in, day out, not, oh, there's a new season of product. Let's update the product information. And then 6 months later, another new season drops. It's something which should be part of everything that goes on day to day. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it would. It would. And you're right. Like, we often think about it in terms of, like, you have your merchandising categories, like the seasonal stuff, and then you have your baseline taxonomy. And then once you've kind of established that, you can then start thinking about it from an execution perspective. Is the baseline taxonomy handled in metafields, for example, because you can define a metafield structure? If you're doing merchandising through tags, it's much more flexible. So you're absolutely right. It's something that needs thinking about. But once you've made those decisions, like, you can start to execute on it quite quickly.
Nice. Now, if someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
In terms of like learning about taxonomy and things like that, unfortunately, it's not really something that we found. But what I will recommend in terms of, there's a kind of resource that we keep coming back to. It's quite old now, but it's Google's UX playbook for retail. I think the thing that I've always found really interesting about this, even if some of the kind of UX advice in it is looking a bit dated, some of the kind of like layouts and things are looking a bit shoddy because it's a couple of years old, is how they approach things like the language that's going to be so much more important as we go through when we start talking, you know, in this kind of new decentralized world. So one of the things that the playbook suggests is breaking down your messaging into things like value propositions, your kind of points of differentiation, and making them visible at every point of entry. And I think that kind of thinking is, you know, going to be really, really valuable going forward. It's not, though, that we're thinking about how, what is your value proposition and making sure it's visible above the fold on a collection page. It's more, what is your value proposition in a way that it can be seen, you know, in ChatGPT and on your product page and on your collection page. It's got that systems thinking in there that I think is really interesting.
Nice. Well, we'll add that link to the show notes so everyone can get their hands on that resource. Thank you, Sam. And finally, dare I ask you the crystal ball question? What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I think it's all of this stuff, really, that we've talked about. You know, we're at the early stages of it. You know, we're starting to see transactions come through. You know, people are buying, and we're going to see that ramp up, really, to the point where I think that ChatGPT and other AI tools become a new discovery channel to kind of rival something like Meta. You know, I think that, and that's kind of the thing that's really exciting for me. We haven't had a new discovery channel that's actually worked for the last, you know, few years. And I think that, I genuinely think that's what we're going to see now.
Oh, that's an interesting take on it, Sam. I love that. Thank you. Now, for anyone who wants to get in contact with you or your business, how do they go about doing that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us at www.blinkseo.co.uk. And there's another side to our business as well, which is our new Shopify SEO platform, which is macaroni.works.
There you go, guys. Sam, so cool to have you on the podcast. Thanks for giving us such a practical take on such a new thing. Really appreciate it. So thank you so much for being here.
No problem. Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
So there you go. Super practical guide to taking advantage of the new shopping in ChatGPT scenario. And what I find really fascinating about how Sam explained it all is that this is arguably all stuff you should be doing anyway to improve your search results and arguably to improve user experience as well. So the good news is that this is going to deliver, if you haven't started on it yet, this is going to deliver on many, many fronts and help your business. So do think about taking control of that taxonomy. Think about the old content on the site. Is that supporting your USP, supporting who you are as a business, your values? And also really focus in on getting that product data right, the schema tags, all that kind of good stuff. Now, you can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, our notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short link. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right episode page. When you get there, do add yourself to our email list. Go on, you know you want to. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed it and want to carry on learning about SEO right now, then why not scroll back up your feed where you'll find a ton of episodes that start with SEO, strangely enough, and that will take you to last year's SEO series. You can also find our full thread of SEO content via the short link keepopt.com/SEO. You'll go to a page on the website where we've got all our SEO episodes, including this one listed. And please do tell your fellow marketers about the show because we want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing and this series in particular, your SEO performance. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.